Now power is given against us in two modes, either for punishment when we sin, or for glory, when we are proved, as we see, was done with respect to Job, as God himself sets forth, saying, "Behold, all that he hath I give unto thy hands, but be careful not to touch himself." 9, and the Lord in his Gospel says, "In the time of his passion, thou cold dost have no power against me, unless it were given thee from above." 10. But when we ask, that we may not come into temptation, we are reminded of our infirmity and weakness, in that we thus ask, lest any should insolently vaunt himself, lest any should proudly and arrogantly assume anything to himself, lest any should take to himself the glory either of confession, or of suffering as his own, when the Lord himself, teaching humility, said, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." 11, so that while a humble and submissive confession comes first, and all is attributed to God, whatever is sought for suppliantly with fear and honor of God, may be granted by his own loving kindness. 27. After all these things, in the conclusion of the prayer comes a brief clause, which shortly and comprehensively sums up all our petitions and our prayers. For we conclude by saying, "But deliver us from evil," comprehending all adverse things which the enemy attempts against us in this world, from which there may be a faithful and sure protection, if God deliver us, if he afford his help to us who pray for and implore it. And when we say, "Deliver us from evil," there remains nothing further which ought to be asked. When we have once asked for God's protection against evil, and have obtained it, then against everything which the devil and the world work against us, we stand secure and safe. For what fear is there in this life, to the man whose guardian in this life is God? 28. What wonder is it, beloved brethren, if such is the prayer which God taught, seeing that he condensed in his teaching all our prayer in one saving sentence? This had already been before foretold by Isaiah the prophet, when, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he spoke of the majesty and loving kindness of God, consummating and shortening his word. 1, he says, "In righteousness, because he shortened word 2, will the Lord make in the whole earth 3, for when the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, came unto all, and gathering alike the learned and unlearned, published to every sex and every age the precepts of salvation, he made a large compendium of his precepts, that the memory of the scholars might not be burdened in the celestial learning, but might quickly learn what was necessary to a simple faith." Thus, when he taught what is life eternal, he embraced the sacrament of life in a large and divine brevity, saying, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only and true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent for." Also, when he would gather from the law and the prophets the first and greatest commandments, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." 5, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. 6, and again, "Whatsoever good things ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." 7. 29. Nor was it only in words, but in deeds also, that the Lord taught us to pray, himself praying frequently and beseeching, and thus showing us, by the testimony of his example, what it behoved us to do, as it is written, "But himself departed into a solitary place, and there prayed 8, and again he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." 9, but if he prayed who was without sin, how much more ought sinners to pray? And if he prayed continually, watching through the whole night in uninterrupted petitions, how much more ought we to watch 10, nightly and constantly repeated prayer? 30. But the Lord prayed, and besought not for himself, for why should he who was guiltless pray on his own behalf, but for our sins, as he himself declared, when he said to Peter, "Behold, Satan hath desired, that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." 11, and subsequently he beseeches the Father for all, saying, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." 12, the Lord's loving kindness, no less than his mercy, is great in respect of our salvation, in that, not content to redeem us with his blood, he in addition also prayed for us. Behold now what was the desire of his petition, that like as the Father and Son are one, so also we should abide in absolute unity, so that from this, it may be understood how greatly he sins who divides unity and peace, since for this same thing even the Lord besought, desirous doubtless that his people should thus be saved, and live in peace, since he knew, that discord could not come into the kingdom of God. 13. 31. Moreover, when we stand praying, beloved brethren, we ought to be watchful and earnest with our whole heart, intent on our prayers. Let all carnal and worldly thoughts pass away, nor let the soul at that time think on anything but the object only of its prayer. For this reason also the priest, by way of preface before his prayer, prepares the minds of the brethren by saying, "Lift up your hearts, That so upon the people's response, we lift them up unto the Lord, he may be reminded, that he himself ought to think of nothing but the Lord. 14. Let the breast be closed against the adversary, and be open to God alone, nor let it suffer God's enemy to approach to it at the time of prayer. For frequently he steals upon us, and penetrates within, and by crafty deceit calls away our prayers from God, that we may have one thing in our heart and another in our voice, when not the sound of the voice, but the soul and mind, ought to be praying to the Lord with a simple intention. But what carelessness it is, to be distracted and carried away by foolish and profane thoughts, when you are praying to the Lord, as if there were anything which you should rather be thinking of than that you are speaking with God. How can you ask to be heard of God, when you yourself do not hear yourself? Do you wish that God should remember you when you ask, if you yourself do not remember yourself? This is absolutely to take no precaution against the enemy. This is, when you pray to God, to offend the majesty of God by the carelessness of your prayer. This is to be watchful with your eyes, and to be asleep with your heart, while the Christian, even though he is asleep with his eyes, ought to be awake with his heart, as it is written in the person of the Church speaking in the Song of Songs, I sleep, yet my heart waketh one. Wherefore the Apostle anxiously and carefully warns us, saying, continue in prayer, and watch in the same too, teaching, that is, and showing that those are able to obtain from God what they ask, whom God sees to be watchful in their prayer. 32. Moreover, those who pray should not come to God with fruitless or naked prayers. Petition is ineffectual when it is a barren entreaty that beseeches God. 3. For as every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is cut down and cast into the fire, assuredly also words that do not bear fruit cannot deserve anything of God, because they are fruitful in no result. And thus Holy Scripture instructs us, saying, prayer is good with fasting and almsgiving. 4. For he who will give us in the day of judgment a reward for our labors and alms, is even in this life a merciful hearer of one who comes to him in prayer, associated with good works. Thus, for instance, Cornelius the centurion, when he prayed, had a claim to be heard, for he was in the habit of doing many alms deeds toward the people, and of ever praying to God. To this man, when he prayed about the ninth hour, appeared an angel bearing testimony to his labors, and saying, Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are gone up in remembrance before God. 5. 33. Those prayers quickly ascend to God which the merits of our labors urge upon God. Thus also Raphael the angel was a witness to the constant prayer and the constant good works of Tobias, saying, it is honorable to reveal and confess the works of God. For when thou didst pray, and Sarah, I did bring the remembrance of your prayers before the holiness of God. And when thou didst bury the dead in simplicity, and because thou didst not delay to rise up, and to leave thy dinner, but didst go out, and cover the dead, I was sent to prove thee, and again God has sent me to heal thee, and Sarah thy daughter-in-law. For I'm Raphael, one of the seven holy angels which stand and go in and out before the glory of God. 6. By Isaiah also the Lord reminds us, and teaches similar things, saying, loosen every knot of iniquity, release the oppressions of contracts which have no power, let the troubled go into peace, and break every unjust engagement. Break thy bread to the hungry, and bring the poor that are without shelter into thy house. When thou seest the naked, clothe him, and despise not those of the same family and race as thyself. Then shall thy light break forth in season, and thy raiment shall spring forth speedily, and righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of God shall surround thee. Then shalt thou call, and God shall hear thee, and while thou shalt yet speak, he shall say, here I am. 7. He promises that he will be at hand, and says that he will hear and protect those who, loosening the knots of unrighteousness from their heart, and giving alms among the members of God's household according to his commands, even in hearing what God commands to be done, do themselves also deserve to be heard by God. The blessed Apostle Paul, when aided in the necessity of affliction by his brethren, said that good works which are performed are sacrifices to God. I'm full, saith he, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. 8. For when one has pity on the poor, he lends to God, and he who gives to the least gives to God, sacrifices spiritually to God an odor of a sweet smell. 34. And in discharging the duties of prayer, we find that the three children with Daniel, being strong in faith and victorious in captivity, observed the third, sixth, and ninth hour, as it were, for a sacrament of the Trinity, which in the last times had to be manifested. For both the first hour and its progress to the third shows forth the consummated number of the Trinity, and also the fourth proceeding to the sixth declares another Trinity, and when from the seventh the ninth is completed, the perfect Trinity is numbered every 3 hours, which spaces of hours the worshippers of God in time past having spiritually decided on, made use of for determined and lawful times for prayer. And subsequently the thing was manifested, that these things were of old sacraments, in that anciently righteous men prayed in this manner. For upon the disciples at the third hour the Holy Spirit descended, who fulfilled the grace of the Lord's promise. Moreover, at the sixth hour, Peter, going up onto the housetop, was instructed as well by the Son as by the Word of God, admonishing him to receive all to the grace of salvation, whereas he was previously doubtful of the receiving of the Gentiles to baptism. And from the sixth hour to the ninth, the Lord, being crucified, washed away our sins by his blood, and that he might redeem and quicken us, he then accomplished his victory by his passion. 35. But for us, beloved brethren, besides the hours of prayer observed of old, 1. Both the times and the sacraments have now increased in number. For we must also pray in the morning, that the Lord's resurrection may be celebrated by morning prayer. And this formerly the Holy Spirit pointed out in the Psalms, saying, My King, and my God, because unto thee will I cry, O Lord, in the morning shalt thou hear my voice. In the morning will I stand before thee, and will look up to thee too. And again, the Lord speaks by the mouth of the prophet, Early in the morning shall they watch for me, saying, Let us go, and return unto the Lord our God. 3. Also at the sunsetting, and at the decline of day, of necessity we must pray again. For since Christ is the true sun and the true day, as the worldly sun and worldly day depart, when we pray, and ask that light may return to us again, we pray for the advent of Christ, which shall give us the grace of everlasting light. Moreover, the Holy Spirit in the Psalms manifests, that Christ is called the day. The stone, says he, which the builders rejected, is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, let us walk and rejoice in it. 4. Also the prophet Malachi testifies, that he is called the Son, when he says, But to you that fear the name of the Lord shall the Son of Righteousness arise, and there is healing in his wings. 5. But if in the Holy Scriptures the true Son and the true day is Christ, there is no hour accepted for Christians wherein God ought not frequently and always to be worshipped, so that we who are in Christ, that is, in the true Son and the true day, should be instant throughout the entire day in petitions, and should pray, and when, by the lie of the world, the revolving night, recurring in its alternate changes, succeeds, there can be no harm arising from the darkness of night to those who pray, because the children of light of the day even in the night. For when is he without light, who has light in his heart? Or when has not he the Son and the day, whose Son and day is Christ? 36. Let not us, then, who are in Christ, that is, always in the lights, cease from praying even during night. Thus the widow Anna, without intermission praying and watching, persevered in deserving well of God, as it is written in the I Gospel, she departed not, it says, from the temple, serving with fastings and prayers night and day. 6. Let the Gentiles look to this, who are not yet enlightened, or the Jews who have remained in darkness, by having forsaken the light. Let us, beloved brethren, who are always in the light of the Lord, who remember and hold fast what by grace received we have begun to be, reckon night for day. Let us believe that we always walk in the light, and let us not be hindered by the darkness which we have escaped. Let there be no failure of prayers in the hours of night, no idle and reckless waste of the occasions of prayer. New created and new born of the Spirit by the mercy of God, let us imitate what we shall one day be, since in the kingdom we shall possess day alone, without intervention of night. Let us so watch in the night, as if in the daylight. Since we are to pray and give thanks to God forever, let us not cease in this life also to pray and give thanks. 7. Taken from The Early Church Fathers and Other Works, originally published by William B. Eerdmans Pub Company in English in Edinburgh, Scotland, beginning in 1867. ANF 5, Robertson Donaldson.